And welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill, we are having your proverbial little tiny, just a little tiny scramble. Yep. Everyone thought the other person had the guest's phone number.
Who's on first?
Yeah, we're having a little who's on first. You know, if we don't have any of that at the beginning, it isn't fun.
That's right.
Actually, it's not fun. It's not entertaining.
And otherwise, anybody could do it.
As a matter of fact.
That's right.
So, let's see. We have...
Sorry about that. That was my creaky joint.
Oh, sure.
That was the Halloween. No, that was the Halloween portion of the program. Hey, so I hope people caught last week's program. So what, today is the 20th last week. If I did my math properly, it would have been October the 13th. If you missed last week's show, I really do hope you go back and look. We joke around a lot. Kind of about serious topics, but the myth of Palestine and the two-state solution with former CIA officer Claire Lopez was really, really excellent. And
got
I think,
a lot of feedback on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, of all the different topics and things, every now and then something hits people at exactly the right time, and that program was one of those. We hear a lot about that, the whole two-state solution, and, well, they just need to have a ceasefire, and, well, we're all going to, you know, everybody's just going to learn to get along and all that. I think it'll be much more clear how far away that sort of thing, that type of solution is in our world. So that would be October 13th, 2024, and that program was with Claire Lopez. You can find it in our archives. They are free to listen to, free to share. It's MP3 files. You can download them. You can do whatever you want with them. And we do hope that you will share it. Okay. So we have Officer Joe with us this afternoon because we're going to speak with Hannah Palmer. And, well, for me, the fun part of Hannah Palmer is that my entire childhood growing up, it was all about "So help me, Hannah," when my dad was really mad.
You said.
He'd get right in your face and be like, "So help me, Hannah." And I remember I had to have been like a second grader because we moved away from that house. We were in Seattle. I'll never forget it. We were in the kitchen. And my dad, like, he bends over and he's like, "So help me, Hannah." And I looked at him and I thought, I got to know. And I said, "Who is Hannah?"
Pow!
I kind of got spanked a little bit. "Who is Hannah?" And I'm like, finally, I get to meet Hannah.
Well, Hannah...
Aaron, I don't know anybody named Hannah.
Well, Hannah is this incredible young woman who I had the opportunity and privilege of listening to about a month ago on one of Laura Stack's trainings. And I was immediately struck by her, and I said, "Who is this person, and how old is she?" And she is way younger than all of us.
What?
Yes, she is.
Are you
going
to do that after Bill's 50th high school reunion last night? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say the number? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, come on.
and it's so appropriate to have her on because there are some recent statistics that are really interesting. Marijuana has now surpassed alcohol daily use in the United States.
Wow.
Okay, so it's not Bud Light anymore. It's
Bud Light.
It's Bud Heavy.
Well, it's Bud Pesticide, actually, if you listen to the rest of our shows. How do you feel about pesticides?
And other things that Hannah's going to comment on today is Measure 3 in Florida, where Luke Neferatos from SAM took on a total scumbag lawyer by the name of Morgan & Morgan, who's put over $100 million into the ballot measure, along with Trulieve, which is a marijuana corporation. And they are putting their finger on the scale of marijuana in that state, using California as the model. And so we know what's going to happen there. You're going to have marijuana being grown illegally in all the national forests. You're going to have marijuana being grown in the Everglades, and it's going to destroy that state. We'll see what DeSantis does. He's not a Newsom. We'll see how he fights back. I don't want to concentrate that. I want to concentrate on Hannah today. Hannah, are you out there?
Well, I decided to call this Just Say No 2.0 because we all grew up in our generation with Just Say No. And it worked for some, but we kind of mocked it a lot. And our parents all told us that marijuana was a gateway drug and bottom line is we knew a lot of kids over the years who might have smoked pot, and they weren't doing heroin. Nobody even, I don't know, where I grew up, nobody knew what any of that stuff really was. No one ever saw it. Real drugs, like what we considered real drugs. But now that is all in a very similar class, and it's no longer like this 2% THC thing that was happening when we were growing up. It's a very different animal now. But, yeah, and Hannah managed, we've spoken with people who have been through rehab and all that. I'll add that show to this because that really is the flip side. The folks who decided that the DARE program was actually meant drugs are really exciting, and so they took them all and then had to revamp their lives. There's that side, and then there's the Hannah side where she decided not a good idea. So I'll let her tell her story, but that's the vantage point of today.
I want to juxtapose Hannah's story today about a case I've been working on all week here in California called Emily Gold. And Emily Gold was a nationally recognized dancer, 17 years old, got a gummy from her boyfriend, had a reaction, walked to a bridge and jumped off the bridge, killing herself and then being run over by multiple vehicles.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I'm working that case this week with a number of lawyers. We hope to take on the school, the boyfriend that gave her the gummy, the parents that the boyfriend took the gummy from, and potentially the county for not securing the bridge that had a prior suicide there. So it's that's the other side. And so 17 years old, snuffed out because of marijuana. And people say, oh, it's just marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
For young people today, it's potentially a one-time experience. So I'm going to let you talk to Anna and tell the community about
who
she
Hannah.
Is.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Hannah, are you there?
There we go. She was in the cone of silence.
Hannah, are you out? Hannah, are you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, my God. I can see that smile that I know is on your face and the light that's in your heart. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Out of the cone of silence.
Yeah.
So, Hannah, rather than read your bio, which I did post online for today, why don't you tell people a little bit about your background and how you kind of made these choices?
Yeah, of course. So I kind of became passionate about all of this growing up, just in high school and college. I was kind of, before high school, I was under the false impression that nobody was drinking or doing drugs in high school, and it was very naive of me to think, because, shocker, it is very common in schools. And realizing that, I started to develop a passion for living drug-free. And I kind of started to network when I was in high school, and I became pretty involved, not just in my high school, but with different organizations across the nation. And I worked for Every Brain Matters for quite a while, and I wrote some news articles for them. I did some of their social media, and then I got connected to the DEA, and I did an internship with them out in Washington, D.C. For my last semester of college. And then now I work in addiction recovery. I work at Northern Illinois Recovery Center in Illinois, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And I also am a certified Johnny's Ambassador Trainer and do some speaking for Laura and her amazing nonprofit.
So, Hannah, can we dig down in a little of that? Because, remember, you're speaking to listeners from all over the world, and they may not know who and what these organizations are. So could we go back to – let's go back to Aubrey and Every Brain Matters and explain what that is.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Aubrey, she started Every Brain Matters, and how did I find Aubrey? We got connected a while back when I was first getting involved in this, and I was fortunate enough to help her with Every Brain Matters, and she is very passionate about just spreading the truth about marijuana and the harms that she's seen and heard about. And I got to partner with her, and she has a website, and it kind of goes over everything, but she does a lot of outreach, and she is just trying to create a big network for just people from all over to share their experiences and get support on the issue.
Did she have personal tragedy in her life because of marijuana?
Yeah.
Do you know what that was, and could you tell us?
I don't want to speak on her behalf.
Yes. We've had her on the show, by the way.
Oh, you have? Yes. Okay. Okay, amazing. Yeah, no, it has been a while since we have talked about it, but I know that she has experienced it in her own family, and just kind of the hold that it had on her loved ones, and it just drove her further into preventing it from happening to other people. And, I mean, today, I don't work for Everybody Matters anymore, but today we still partner and connect and help each other on issues going on in our own communities.
And as I spoke to the Gold family this week, Emily Gold, and anybody that wants to know about that case can Google Emily Gold, Southern California dancer, and her case will come up. There's a lot of national news about it. And so she experienced what I know that Laura Stack and many of these parents, Bart Bright from Maranon, that they have experienced. And right now, the Golds are still going through the denial phase, like, how could this have happened? Where did we make a mistake? What did our daughter, 17-year-old daughter, who told us everything in life, how did we not know that this was happening? There was there's obviously been a long criminal case. It's not over yet. They've initially ruled it a suicide, but it's marijuana related, and we're going to see in the end that other people are going to have direct culpability, and I find that in a lot of parents that I talk to, they initially have denial, and then they go into, you know, it's the stages of grief. They go into anger, and right now the Gold family's in the anger phase. Emily killed herself on September 10th, so it's really fresh. And or she died. I'm going to say she died because it was, you know, she had a gummy and she had THC on board and quite a bit. So it's ruined this family completely. This family is destroyed. They will never be right again. And the people like Aubrey and the people like Laura Stack, they're more the exception in the rule than the rule of families that are able to come back from the death of a young person. And I know you understand that, you being younger yourself. And you're in your 20s, right?
Yeah, I'm 22.
22. So super interested. So then you work for Every Brain Matters. And then where did you go from there?
Yeah, well, I just want to make a comment off of your point really quick.
Sure, yeah, anything you want to say.
Yeah, so just talking about how marijuana ties into suicide, I have some friends and I know people that they were never suicidal in their life, but as soon as they started smoking weed, they became suicidal out of nowhere. And I just think that speaks volumes to the correlation that is there. And aside from that, too, you were talking about just families and parents, and that's another thing with marijuana is a lot of parents, they think it's just pot, and they're just used to something that's so different from how it is today, and just the, I guess there is a lack of education just because there's so much promotion for marijuana that people truly believe it's harmless, but when parents believe that, it's really hard for kids to believe something different, and I also see that a lot.
Well, the parents wouldn't intervene if they... Mm-hmm. What do you see now? Like, if we hid everything from our parents. I mean, they're... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess there were those kids whose parents were, like, their, quote, friends, but I didn't know any of them. Our parents were... But it was kind of easy to outwit them because they were so far out of touch with what was going on. Things had changed so much in like the 70s when I would have been in junior high and high school. They had changed a lot. So our folks didn't even know what was going on. Parents today, the landscape has changed a bit. But I think they're a little more aware. The bad part is this permissiveness that you bring up. Why... Do you think they just do it because they don't understand the change that's happened with the drug?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, not that parents advocate for their child to use any substance, but I think especially when it comes to marijuana, they are like, okay, thank God it's just marijuana, it's not another drug, when in reality, marijuana can do a lot more damage than they think.
Yeah. Well, they, and so, like in school, do they still have those, I realize you're you know, you've been out of like junior high, high school for a little bit here, but you're still way more current than any of us. Do they still do a lot of those programs? I know Officer Joe works on a lot of those here, but where you grew up, was that a thing? And do kids still kind of make fun of it? Or
yeah, so I think that's the biggest problem we face today, and that's another reason I became so passionate about this, because of the lack of education. This was a while back, but when I was still in high school, I wrote a report on the lack of education in schools, and I was just, it was unbelievable how little education we have going into schools about drug prevention. And the problem is, to start off, it was using scare tactics to scare someone out of using something. But if people use a drug and have a positive experience, they're going to discredit everything that they were taught. And I think we need to target drug prevention is talking about what's actually going on. Like, yes, you're going to experience maybe you're going to have a positive experience, but a lot of things are happening in your body that shouldn't be happening, especially when your brain is still developing.
That's a really good point. The scare, we have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, let's pick that up, because the scare you out of it. I mean, we find ourselves doing that on this show. I mean, if you went to hear about all the chemicals and all the stuff, I mean, you should be scared. So, okay, if that isn't something that works, I'd like to hear your perspective on maybe how that ought to be changed, since you work on it a lot. Our guest is Hannah Palmer. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. Body and soul, then it's just your body, then they go. What shall we do about them? I need a sign to let me know you're here, 'cause my TV set just keeps it on.
We're back. All right, Hannah. So the scare tactics, we were talking during the break here that they used to show us this driver's ed movie called Red Asphalt, and it's like, you get in a car and it's going to be, you know, and everybody just rolled their eyes and went out and drove too fast. Like, it didn't really help. So if you got to rewrite the
Well, what did Hannah go through? Did you go through Just Say No? Did you go through DARE? Did you see any of that in your school?
It does the same.
Yeah, I did go through DARE, I think, in fifth grade. And, I mean, I don't remember a lot about it. It did encourage me to not use the substances. But I definitely don't think it was as impactful as something else would have been, especially continuing education into high school and even more in middle school.
So at break, before we went to break, Aaron had a question, and we were talking about that. And Aaron, what was that question? Could you restate
I was curious, because I think in a lot of cases the tendency is to use fear as a motivator to prevent whatever it is we're doing, not just drugs, but anything. So you were saying that the fear prevention and the scare stuff really wasn't all that powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a difference between scaring someone out of doing things and kind of being a little too dramatic about it. Not necessarily making things up, but stretching things quite a bit.
Sure.
Whereas, like, facts that are just scary facts, I think we need to just focus on that. So what's actually happening in your brain when you use marijuana? What's actually happening in your body? You could, of course, incorporate stories like all the organizations that I listed. A lot of them have very powerful stories, and those I think are great as well. But we need to talk more about what is actually happening, because just again, like, people will try things and it will be positive for them, but they are not fully understanding the consequences that might come later on. Because when you use something, you're not going into it thinking that something bad's going to happen to you. That's why people use. They're like, okay, like, this would never happen to me. But the reality is it is happening to people, and it's happening to a lot of our kids, especially now, because of the high-potency marijuana that's being commercialized.
And does that make it more popular? Like, what's the pitch now with youth? Is like, oh yeah, I found something that's really, it's like a million times stronger than you found the other day. Is that a thing?
I think the biggest thing is people think it's harmless because of legalization. They don't understand the potency factor, whereas, like, these corporations are making it much more potent because that is going to make it more addictive. I don't think people fully understand that. It's more so, like, they're thinking it's a plant, it's safe because it's being legalized, people don't really care about this anymore, just let it go. I think that's more so the narrative, especially for kids. They think that is totally fine.
I've always been super bugged about the dope stores in our towns, because to my way of thinking, growing up as a little kid, you know, even as a little kid, you don't have stores for things that aren't legal, and you don't even understand the concept of legal as a little kid, other than, you know, stealing is bad, those kinds of things. Well, although
yeah.
In California,
if it's sold in a store, then
it's got to be fine.
It's got to be okay, or they wouldn't
and
be
so
allowed
they
to sell it.
Yeah, because it's been years now. Mm-hmm. So now kids are growing up watching this stuff. In you know, you can go, if you live near one, you drive by these stores that sell the stuff. Can you tell, like, how that is hitting people in your age bracket?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Even there's been many studies done that show that if there's billboards or there's advertising, or if there's a literal, like, pot shop in your neighborhood, that it just increases the likelihood that someone's going to use, because you're driving by it every day. It's becoming a little bit more normal to you. And your idea of how it might be harmful or impactful in a negative way to you, it kind of lowers, and you just seeing it and being around it more, you're like, okay, maybe this isn't as bad. It's all, I mean, it all comes down to money. That's why these marijuana companies are spending so much money on advertisement and billboards. Because they know what it's doing.
And Hannah, I've got a social media comment that's saying celebrities use it and even have their own labels, like John Belushi, and you got Cheech and Chong. And
do they really?
Yeah. Oh,
I guess that makes perfect sense.
Willie Nelson. You know, all these guys have their own marijuana companies.
Yeah, and they're successful. So,
including John Boehner, the speaker of the House,
down the dope trail immediately.
Yeah, and I have one just such a problem with that. It's a shame that people and with such a big voice are using it. To me, in a negative way, because that media influence is. Kids spend so much time on their phone, you know it's getting in their hands. But also, I think because celebrities are talking about this, people are like, oh, okay, they're successful, this isn't a big deal. But something I like to remind people is, just because they're maybe successful in their career, that doesn't mean they're successful in life. Like, if they're having to use a substance and promote a substance, they're trying to cover up something else that maybe they're not happy, or they have the family structure they want. I think it goes a lot deeper than just how much money they're making.
What an interesting counter. When I always get from the marijuana folks, they always try to tell me about famous people that are successful that use marijuana. They love to point to people like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, and I just go like, yeah, okay. But you brought up what happens in the rest of their life, what's going on in the rest of their life, and
right.
We could take an hour and talk about that, but we won't.
Oh, yeah. And, like, even those are, again, those are just a few people. You have no idea how many people could be successful today that aren't because they got trapped in this this marijuana cycle and they're smoking and it affected their life in a negative way.
Well, I think we know that when you're high, you're not being productive. I always get people that try to tell me, "Oh, I'm more artistic. I'm better in bed and all these kind of things." But the evidence is the real evidence of that shows that that's all false. That's you know. BS.
There's a pretty timely article online this morning about seniors.
Yes.
Now increased use in, with seniors using marijuana and. They give a pretty good list of side effects to be watchful of, and it's the same exact thing we're talking about.
What's the list?
What's the list, Bill?
Psychosis.
Just a little psychosis, Grandma.
Yeah, it's all right, Grandma. increased anxiety, depression, anger. Balance issues. Old people.
Well, that's what old people need, more balance issues.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And delayed reaction times when driving. Increased risk of cardiovascular events. Interaction with other medications, because most people don't take other medications, so they don't have anything to worry about.
Old people hardly ever take any medications.
Yeah, yeah.
I never see them at the pharmacy.
But it's the numbers are kind of surprising. How many older people are now turning to marijuana, they say, for pain relief and anxiety and these sort of things. And it's they're getting the opposite. They could get the opposite effect.
400 medications now documented, standard medications in the industry that are used by people on a regular basis. 400 medications now are interactive with marijuana in a negative fashion, and that list is going up really fast.
Well, one of the biggies is blood thinners.
That's right.
A lot of old people are on blood thinners, and you start, taking marijuana, and you can have some serious side effects.
Well, they've led them to believe that it's all safe and
it's natural, Aaron.
You don't need a prescription now.
Right.
I mean, you can just go to your local shop and buy it over the counter.
Which that brings me to my next question for Hannah. Hannah, you're calling us. Your experience level in life is predominantly Wisconsin. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yep.
Could you tell us what's going on in Wisconsin with marijuana?
Yeah. Is it
legal? Is it recreational? Are people growing it? Are you having cartels move in, grow it? Do you see any of it in the community? Because you have beautiful, when I think of Wisconsin, I'm thinking cornfields and stuff like that.
Think of cheese. Stop yourself.
Cheese heads. I forgot.
I'm sorry. How is that not the very first thing on your list?
Okay. So what are you seeing? Do you have dispensaries on your blocks? Do you have marijuana advertising on your freeways?
Right
any of that
next
stuff?
To the cheese? God, that's so wrong.
Yeah. So in Wisconsin, marijuana is not legal. Thank God, but it is sold in other ways in gas stations because of the farm bill from 2018 in that loophole. So the
You're talking about THC derivative hemp products and things like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So that is what is mainly sold. And there are, designated shops for that stuff in Wisconsin, and that's really blowing up. And it's Delta 8. But aside from that, we don't have recreational use from legal weed. Right across the border in Illinois, there is a legal market.
So you see cars like going across the border and then coming back with their windows down with the smoke blowing out of them?
Yep. I remember right when it got legalized, I knew people that were going literally day of across the border to get some weed.
And what do you think now? Are you still in college? No, you just graduated, correct?
Yeah, I just graduated. And I went to school in Illinois, and then, like I said, I spent a little time in D.C. too, where you smell marijuana on every corner you walk by.
And that's when you were working for DEA, went through the internship there?
Yep.
Okay. So what was it like in Illinois in college, as a college person today? Did marijuana ever come up into discussion to anybody? And did you go to parties on the weekends? And, was there any peer pressure to use it? Or is that pretty much gone since it's so available everywhere?
Oh, no, there's for sure peer pressure, and I think that's honestly where I see the most people use, because they're in a group setting, and they're like, okay, well, if we're going to go smoke together, we might as well just all do it together. Personally, I never felt the pressure. I didn't have a problem telling people that I was okay, especially after reading all the new just studies coming out about it. I did not want to do anything to mess with my brain. But I definitely saw people getting peer pressured into using it, and thankfully I went to a smaller college. It's called Olivet Nazarene University, but it is a pretty, it's a pretty strict school, so we are a dry campus, so at least, like, going to classes, it's not like the teachers were encouraging us to use any substances or anything like that. We would actually pray before classes. I definitely had a different college experience, but, I mean, you could find this stuff anywhere. I still had friends that were using in college, and I had quite a few actually come to me and say they quit after I talked to them about it for a little while, and it was cool to just see how they changed after they, gave up their dab pens and stuff like that, but... regardless where you are, even if it is a small private school, there's still going to be marijuana on your campus.
Where are they obtaining it from? Are they getting it from a dispensary and then giving it to friends? Because not everybody's going to go to a dispensary. I mean, you know, is it being resold by young people who go to a dispensary?
I think it's a bit of both. I think people get it from dispensaries, but there is still a black market for marijuana out there, and I know, like, I had some friends that a lot of the time they'd be like, okay, I'm going to go meet my dealer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you guys, like, I would highly advise them just not to do that. They would be going to random parking lots and getting stuff. And they'd be like, no, I trust them. And you just can't.
I trust him. I trust my dealer. that just sounds absolutely asinine.
I know. And it's like, yeah, you just can't. And I feel like, we know after this fentanyl crisis that's been going on, and that was like a huge thing I heard all the time is when I was in D.C. I worked a lot on that and just the campaign of One Pill Can Kill, and a lot of times you would hear people seeing like, okay, I like trusted my dealer, I never thought this could happen, and then they got a pill of fentanyl in it. So it's scary that young people are trusting people that are selling them drugs, and I think that's a whole issue in itself, and I don't really know the answer to that, but honestly, I do think it's connection. I think we need to just connect more with people, especially after COVID being locked down. A lot of people still feel alone, so they turn to drugs to build community, but there's so many better ways to build community and human connection.
Wow. I want to do the DEA thing when we come back. We have to take another quick break, but definitely want to explore what you learned with DEA, because, you know, I mean, now Officer Joe probably dealt with the DEA. Some people may have had some experience with DEA, but most people, it's a three-letter agency that has something to do with drugs, and we don't know anything about it. So
right.
it'd be interesting to find out what you learned there. And I found a terrific song about the, I don't know, maybe it could be the drug dealers or the people who use it. Anyway, because you can turn your life into a zero, too, if you want to. You shouldn't, though. So we're speaking with Hannah Palmer. Oh, gosh, here comes this one. We're speaking with Hannah Palmer today, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Okay, hit it.
Go.
Say the truth will set you free. Hello, hello, let me tell you what it's like to be a zero, zero. Let me show you what it's like to always feel, feel. Like I'm empty and there's nothing really real, real. I'm looking for a way out. Hello, hello, let me tell you what it's like to be a zero, zero. Let me show you what it's like to never feel, feel. Like I'm good enough for anything that's real, real. I'm looking for a way. If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. Uh-oh, uh-oh. Lord, make me a rainbow, I'll shine down on my mother, she'll know I'm safe with you when she's
the reality of all of this.
Yeah, the Emily Golds.
Uh-huh, the Emily Golds. So, Hannah, talk to us about your experience. Well, we had a question, actually, before we do that. I wrote down DEA, so we will do that.
So, Hannah, this is the question that came in, and we think it's a good question. How can adults help dissuade drug use in young people?
First off, if you have kids, talk to them about it. Be honest with them, share the facts, and I think that's number one, because the parents they have the biggest influence on their kids, especially when it comes to staying sober, and just encouraging them to get involved, do things, do sports, do clubs, do activities, do music, whatever their passion is, and just build a network of others that aren't using. And for marijuana specifically, recent data suggests that 1 out of 3 high school seniors have used marijuana, but that is a huge number, one that I don't love, but that still means that 2/3 have not used, and it's just reassurance that there's people out there that are not using, and that's where we really need to network and make that number bigger. And I think parents need to encourage that.
When you speak to your fellow peers, what do you say to them? And do you feel like you get through to, you know, a lot of them or some of them?
Yeah. So this is going to be for the rest of my life something that I'm trying to figure out. It is definitely hard, and I've gone through phases where I feel very confident talking to people. I'm fired up about it, and I want to help as many people as possible. But then I go through seasons as well where I am not as comfortable talking about it, because I just feel like the voices of the industry are so much louder than my own. And I think that's my biggest problem, just because people are believing everything that the marijuana industry is telling them. They believe all the empty promises, and when I come to them with just something that's completely different, talking to them that it's bad for them and what it's doing, sometimes I do think it rubs off, but other times I look at it more as planting that seed, hoping one day it will grow and they'll realize what it's doing to them and the loved ones around them. But I think the biggest thing is, one, planting that seed, but also just building relationships. And sometimes actions speak louder than words. So I clearly do not use. So I think when people around me, they don't want to use, and that's just a good starting point. And then building off of that, teaching them what you know, sharing your experiences, and then just hoping one day they'll see it for themselves.
The adults, the parents, because you have a lot of these. We've spoken about this many, many times on this program. The parents that are using marijuana in some form or fashion, and then, well, A, they're modeling that for their kids. Dumb idea. And they leave it laying around. The gummy bears and the stuff that looks like, especially the edible stuff, and it looks just, it's all mimicking children's, kids is cereal and candy and food. How does that all factor in?
That's tough. I hear stories like that a lot, and it breaks my heart. Even at the recovery center I work at, I listen to people's story and how they got started, and sometimes that is the case where it was something at home that was around, and that's how they started using. And it's just devastating, but I guess that's when we really need this education in schools, and we need these supportive communities. I think even more so now, like post-COVID, communities just are not as strong as they used to be, and I think when you have a strong community, that's kind of where you start to flourish, because you're supporting one another, and you're doing things together rather than going home, going on social media. We need connection, and we need the right information, especially in the schools.
With the packaging and the mimicking of candy and all that stuff, I mean, to our mindset, that seems like it seems like a big deal. Is it a big deal from your perspective, or is this just like old people being weird?
No, it's for sure a big deal. I think that, again, plays into why people think marijuana is harmless. Because even me, like, sometimes I question myself on the issue, because I look at, just say, Sour Patch Kids, and they have THC in them, and I'm like, how can that be harmful. It's just a game that the industry is playing because they're trying to hook young people. Because, I mean, that's what young people do. They eat candy. They look at that positively. So add THC to the mix. It's bringing in the younger generation.
You know, they went after the tobacco industry for targeting kids in their advertising.
Yeah, we couldn't have candy cigarettes anymore. Remember
exactly.
Those? We used to get them at Halloween.
Yep. Why do you think the marijuana or the they haven't caught up with the marijuana industry in targeting kids?
Why big tobacco hasn't caught up with the marijuana industry?
No, the government hasn't really caught up with it. I mean, they're allowing it.
Yeah, I honestly think it all comes down to money, unfortunately. There's so much money in marijuana that I think it's easy to buy people over, which is really sad. So I personally get super excited when I hear politicians speaking out about this because they take a lot of hate for that. Even looking on some people's posts or things that they say, and there's just so many hateful comments towards them, but I truly just applaud them because they are speaking the truth and it doesn't matter what those people say. So I appreciate when I hear those voices.
Yeah, I do think that the modeling, all these little bits, right? We have retail outlets, you know, flashing lights, you know, I mean, it's really aggressively marketed. The product is made to mimic food, made to mimic candy. So it's like, oh, this is and it's harmless. Candy's harmless. Well, it's full of sugar, and it's really not harmless. But
they have they have sodas now.
We're still in denial
about that. THC infused sodas.
They have THC
sodas.
Alcohol.
Yeah. So the alcohol industry's gotten into that, and the cigarette, because the cigarette industry is poised right now. As soon as the reclassification occurs, they're jumping in. They're ready to buy in completely into the marijuana market because they need the next generation. They need your generation. They need to addict you, and it's all about money. You were right.
But they're already all smoking cigarettes. It's weird. There's a huge resurgence of that. Again, we went through a long phase where cigarette smoking was bad. Now it's like big. It's almost like it doesn't matter. Everything is okay. It doesn't matter. You can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Which
I know. That's
crazy.
What's so sad. And people are advocating, I feel like, for mental health. There's been a huge push for mental health, but then they're also advocating for legalization of drugs and not just marijuana, but so many other things too. And it's just so contradicting.
Hannah, Aaron's going to do a PSA for us that I did for you for this show. Mm-hmm. And it's the real cost of marijuana in our communities and across America. But its focus is here on California. These are all confirmed cases and confirmed crimes, and it's going to blow your mind when you get to hear them. Let's run that PSA.
Marijuana brought to our communities. More of our citizens will be affected today by marijuana than any other drug. It has exceeded daily alcohol use in the United States. Human trafficking, water theft in the millions of gallons per day, electrical theft, property code violations, sex trafficking, child abuse, kidnapping, animal abuse, multiple murders, including cartel murders, arson or fires created by power theft, impersonation of peace officers or DEA agents during dope ripoffs, multiple armed robberies or burglaries of dispensaries and other grows, dangerous conditions for surrounding neighbors and farming livestock, hazardous damage to the environment, clear-cutting of forests, loss of wildlife, use of banned pesticides, honey oil lab explosions, heightened community fear, drugged driving, increased addiction, mental health welfare, hospitalizations from overdose by underage youth using edibles, homelessness and suicide, importation of illegal drugs and other guns through transnational cartel-controlled pipelines, supporting of felons on parole, supplying tainted marijuana into dispensaries and an unknowing public. None of this is good for our community. Let's be safe out there. Officer Joe.
Hey, wasn't making it legal supposed to eliminate all that? It's actually created a lot of that.
Yeah, go ahead and laugh, Hannah.
So Hannah, our statistics in California is that our dispensaries now are taking in somewhere between 60% and 80% illegal marijuana, and that's all untested, and I would say rarely are they being caught. There's all kinds of ways to get around it, and rarely are they being caught. What's your thoughts? Because those are crimes that are now occurred here in my local county and are occurring across America, and they're coming to you. When you get marijuana in your community, it's going to happen. You're going to get the Chinese. You're going to get the Hmong. You're going to get the Asians. You're going to get the Mexicans. You're going to get all these groups are going to come in that grow marijuana, and they're going to show up in your communities, and you're going to think that, hey, we had illegal aliens crossing the border. Yeah, they cross the border and they go directly to marijuana grows and start growing. And I've tracked them here in Shasta County. Get off the bus from San Diego and go right into the marijuana grows, and they're in the grows all season.
Yeah. No, I think it's crazy that people will hear that stuff and they're like, there's no way. And I think the coolest part of just my job experience, especially at DEA, was people just reassuring me that that's what they're seeing. So it made me feel like, okay, I'm not crazy, even though a lot of people in my community or my friends, they don't believe it, because the professionals, they're seeing it, and it just seems like the media is not picking up, which is so sad. So I appreciate you guys for what you do on this show. I think it's so important because we need to get that information out there. But yeah, that PSA, I honestly did not blow my mind, just because I feel like I've seen it in some other states, and I just wish other states would learn from the ones that have already legalized it and already seen those repercussions.
It's just an epic fail wherever it goes. Yeah. The idea that the crime goes away, that legalizing it makes everything better. The idea, we've done quite a few shows on pain. That's the one that makes me kind of mad, makes me really mad actually, is the pain thing. Oh, it's a good substitute for pain medication. But the medical industry, the honest medical industry, has actually discovered it makes it worse.
Right.
After you're done being stoned all the time, the pain actually increases. For those people who listen to that list, and especially like the animal abuse and stuff like that, I'm always like, you know, if you don't care if people die, you don't care about, you know, crime, you don't think there's really, you know, nobody's going to murder anybody I know, nobody's going to get trafficked that I know, it doesn't affect me, you might care. They're eating dogs, and that's happening an hour and 10 minutes from here, and I've seen it. The pictures on our website come from here. Right near us, and we're not unusual for a rural area that has been overwhelmed by illegal dope grows.
Well, not just that.
Go look at the pictures.
The pollution that these grows cause have killed all the wildlife in the area. You go up to these areas, and there's no more deer. There's no more.
They ate all those.
Well, there's no more bugs. There's nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing.
It's a little weird.
It's killed everything.
It's eerily silent. Yeah. But that you can find that at wethepeopleradio.us, and there's a tab on the top of the page called Pot. And on there, I have posted a ton of photos. You have aerial photos. You have up-close photos. You have slideshow. Go look. Go look, and then tell me that's not happening.
That's
crazy.
I hear you, and I see this too. I like when there's stories out there, or just horrible crimes or killings, and the only thing found in their toxicology report is marijuana. And I still, people don't want to believe that marijuana could be causing these things when it's just so obvious. But again, like you said, like some people don't want to believe it until it happens to them, and I just wish it didn't have to happen to more people for people to see it.
Well, that's always the deal, is it doesn't, but it doesn't affect me. There are so many people who think, well, it doesn't matter. But if all of this is leaching into your water table, these people are driving on the road, you just have a million different ways this can interact with your life. It doesn't have to be you have a kid in school. That's not the only way that this comes home and grabs you. Hannah, we have to take a five-minute break for the news, and then we're going to come back with you because you're our hostage for the second hour.
Yay.
Because, you know, there's so much more to say. All right, you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.